Hello and welcome to That Sports Gamer Show's Game of the Year edition. As always, I'm your host, TJ Lauerman, and sitting in the lap of luxury in Wisconsin, Scott Binns.
Coming to you from the luxurious Midway Hotel. I am about a block away from Lambeau Field, so it isn't terrible. I'm hunkering down because we got a incoming blizzard, so I need to stay at a hotel next door to my workplace so that I can get to work.
I mean, that's brilliant.
Hey, they're paying for it, so.
Also joining us from the great Press Row podcast is none other than Rich Grisham.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Rich Grisham, good to be here. How is your favorite college football team doing?
They are going to win the national championship in about 2 weeks, so I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
Notre Dame.
But. No.
Sure.
I went to a Notre Dame high school. Does that make me eligible to count for anything?
If you want to, absolutely.
I don't even know what that means.
And I went to a high school whose name was Notre Dame.
Huh. One of 400 high schools that are named Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Wait, who's that chiming in? None other than RetroSportsGamer.com's own Brad Woodling.
Good evening, everybody. Soon to cross the 12 a.m. marker here on the East Coast.
Yes, it is. Good thing we're talking about time because we're recording this in multiple parts, so any sort of time references we make won't really make any sense when it comes out. Because it may pass 12 o'clock 4 times during this podcast. Think about it.
Entirely possible.
Guys, in a special edition, we're going to be talking about 4 different awards we'll be giving out. Obviously, Game of the Year, but also Cover Athlete of the Year. We're going to talk about how they did in real life and who did the best. Mobile Game of the Year, not only the Vita, but also the 3DS, iOS, and all those thingies that you can take to the bathroom with you.
So mobile / handheld.
Yes. Well, I would hope if it's mobile, you can hold it in your hand.
Good point.
And we're going to kick it off with a look back. And we're going to go back to the year 2002, one decade ago, and talk about our favorite sports games from back then. And since Brad Woodling is the retro sports gamer, I think we should kick it off with his honorable mention pick from 2002.
All right. So I have 2 honorable mention picks because I believe we were allowed to have possibly more than one.
First, well, we are now.
Yeah, I guess so. Now
it's open. This is going to be 2 hours long now just for this first part. I'm going with the NFL Blitz series, right, because it's all about quantity, not quality. Actually, that's not really true. NFL Blitz released 2 games in 2002. The first was just NFL Blitz 2002, you know, because it's always a good idea to release a football game in February when the season's over. This is why Midway is not in business anymore. And they released one later on in the year. But bottom line, really good next generation games, especially good on the Xbox. And my other honorable mention was NBA Courtside 2002 for the GameCube, a little known NBA series. They had 2 games on the Nintendo 64, and then this is the final one. It was made by Left Field Productions, who you would only know their name today because they made numerous World Series of Poker games, which I have no interest in and have never played. But underrated installment, pretty good games for the Nintendo 64, and this one made the GameCube and was probably the best basketball game for the GameCube probably for that year.
I actually played that.
I'm pretty sure I did as well.
Is that the one where you passed with the C-Stick?
Wow. Yeah, they made some good poker games.
Yeah.
All right. So, I like those picks. NBA Courtside was fun. I'm just hoping that you have the end one tournament streetball game also on your list somewhere else. Which I believe
I don't
is
want to spoil it.
All right. Let's go with Rich Grisham. What do you have for honorable mention?
You know, this is an honorable mention, not because it was necessarily particularly good, although I'm not saying it wasn't. It was just a game that I know that I played more than a little bit, which was NHL Hits 2003. I didn't really love the game because I'm forever, I mean, ever since the sort of the Sega Genesis days of the early 90s, I've always enjoyed the sort of the sim 5-on-5 NHL hockey games. But I did play it, and it was sort of in that weird space where I was like, all right, it's sort of cool, but after like a while, you know, kind of gets samey. You know, there's not a whole lot of different things that you can do. But I definitely played a decent amount of it, and I also remember having the most fun when I was playing against a friend of mine as opposed to against the computer. So NHL Hits 2003 is one of my honorable mentions. I'm also going to use my bogey for a second one. And the second one is, and you know, again, I mean, I've always been much more of a sim sports gamer than anything, so a lot of these choices are kind of obvious. But Madden NFL 2003, with Marshall Faulk on the cover, like many Maddens, especially back in those days, I played multiple seasons and played against a bunch of my friends on, you know, long weekends, having a good time. So I don't know how many hours I put into that game, but there was a lot of fun playing that game. I remember it being a relatively solid version. And so those are my two honorable mentions.
Excellent, Rich.
I want to chime in quick. I think Madden 03 had one of my favorite soundtracks in a Madden game ever.
Oh, my God. Andrew WK, Party Hard. And
yeah, maybe, you know, they weren't great songs, but they were. It was fun. But, okay, I also have two honorable mentions.
Jesus.
Well, one is, it's sort of an honorable mention just because I spent a lot of time on it. Sadly, I'm going to say, and that is WrestleMania X8 on the GameCube. It was the first that generation wrestling game, I believe. No, SmackDown Just Bring It probably came out first. But it was the first one I played because I didn't have a PS2 until later. So it was the first one that came out on GameCube. And at the time, my friends and I played it a lot, but it wasn't a very good game. But its only claim to fame was that I think it was the first game that allowed you to reverse finishing maneuvers.
Ooh. That's a good...
That's a good pick. That was the first game after No Mercy for a Nintendo platform.
Yes, yes, right. That's why we were all excited about it.
Exactly.
We thought it would be more No Mercy.
Yeah. And they dropped the ball quite thoroughly with that.
They did. They were covered in later games.
But, hey, it only took them another decade to become good again. Who knew?
Now, the Day of Reckoning games were good. And then my real honorable mention is Home Run King.
Nice.
Sure.
That was by Sega, I want to say. Right?
Well, yep.
Okay. It was just a really solid baseball game. You know, maybe the thing is easy to play. I think the thing I liked the most was the batting cursor was actually shaped like a bat, so I kind of understood what I was doing more than in other baseball games.
Oh, Scott, there's a Japanese baseball game you should get if you can read Japanese.
Yeah, but
even
I can't.
Even if you can't, it's still the greatest game ever made.
I remember renting. I never owned it, but I remember renting that game a lot. So that's my honorable mention.
All right. Well, since you jerks all did two honorable mentions, I will also. My first one's going to be All-Star Baseball 2003. Nothing particularly exciting about the game. But it was baseball, and the late 90s and early 2000s, I think I may be stuck with a baseball game, a baseball series for only like one or two games. Because everybody was switching back and forth with MVPs, the MLBs, All-Star Baseballs, Baseballs.
It was triple play back then, I thought.
Oh, yes, triple play.
There were like six different baseball series going on at that time, weren't there?
It's amazing.
There might have been a few like more that were just one-offs, but...
Like backyard baseball? I mean, come on.
I remember going back. I can remember on the N64, there was like Mike Piazza's Strike Zone or something weird like that.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, it just might have been like a one-off or something, you know? Just remember there were a lot of baseball games.
And, I think that was probably the last year I played All-Star Baseball. I'm going to assume in 2004 I switched. Or no, in 2003 I probably switched over to something EA Sports. Also, confusing because now baseball games have fixed themselves, but back in the day, All-Star Baseball 2003 came out in 2002.
Even though the sport itself never crosses a year for whatever reason.
The silence was because everybody's minds was blown. That's what happened.
I still remember,
changed that.
And I know that Rich changed it. Or Rich probably remembers it too. Maybe you guys do. EA changed it with MVP Baseball. They dropped the year off 1 year, and they had to put stickers on the game to tell people this was really, you know, it wasn't the old game because people were so ingrained that you always were a year ahead even for baseball, which made no sense.
Right.
I do remember them having – it was like a marketing thing. They were real worried, but thank goodness they did that.
Now we just need EA Sports to fix Tiger Woods.
I probably wasn't paying close enough attention then to remember that.
All right. And then since I'm going to use the second pick, I'm going to throw out UFC Throwdown. Come on, guys. 2002 was my freshman year of college. And I think UFC Throwdown was one of the first games I ended up playing in college. Don't ask me how, don't ask me why, but it was fun, even though it was, you know, a UFC game, so it had a terrible grapple thing, a terrible punching thing. A bunch of stuff put together, but it was UFC. It was fun.
There you go. Good stuff.
All right, let's get to the real meat of this, since I did not write down anything that I was just about to write down. I guess we'll just keep going in the same order, maybe. Let's go with number three for Brad.
Number three for me, NCAA College Basketball 2K3.
Ooh, good one.
You know, I was a big sim guy too back then. Still kind of am today. You know, just don't have the same amount of time. But Rich, I was a big sim guy, and the March Madness series when it came to PS2,
mm-hmm.
it was bad. Like they released one same type of deal as Blitz, one in February, March Madness 2002. I was never more excited for a game. My first year out of college, I had a ton of free time. It was horrible.
At least the timing was right.
Yeah, and then it was better in February, and then. But 2K, you know, being a Visual Concepts fan, a big 2K fan on the Dreamcast, then they brought on NCAA College Basketball over, and this was, you know, same as their NBA games, but it was college with a lot of depth and awesome game. Jay Williams on the cover would not win Cover Athlete of the Year. It was they have this picture from Duke on there, and it's also one of the most valuable GameCube games because it has a similar story to NBA Elite. And that they pulled the GameCube version off the shelves shortly after release because 2K didn't think it would sell. So they typically went for like $60 for a while, although it's came down. So an interesting story to go with my number three pick.
Oh, I thought the game itself was rare. I had a copy for PS2, and I remember my first college roommate let a friend borrow it without asking me, and I was just livid. I didn't realize it was only the GameCube version that was rare.
You may be able to replace that memory for $2, Scott. Look on eBay.
It also featured role-playing mode, where you could play as one player for the entire game. Whoever thought that thing would catch on?
I don't remember that.
Okay. All right, Rich Grisham, number three.
Staying with the hoops theme, I'm going with NBA Live 2003. It was a good NBA game from EA, which they had not delivered for the couple of years before that. And, of course, you know, me being at that particular time able to buy a lot of different games. I had no kids. I had I was working. My wife was working. So, those are the days where I could walk into a video game store. Remember those? On a Tuesday. Remember when they would, you know, all the new games come out on Tuesday and just be like, yeah, I'll pick up this, that, and the other game and walk out and not even care. And I did that with NBA Live 2003 and wound up playing a ton of it. It was really good. It was solid. It had some really good on-court gameplay that the series had not had for years before then. I don't know why I did not play the NBA 2K game that year. I was looking at these games and I saw the Allen Iverson on the cover and I just remember not having that game. And you know, another reason that I bought NBA Live 2003 Sight Unseen was I'm a Nets fan. And Jason Kidd was on the cover. And, you know, it was one of those rare times in my life when my basketball team was actually good. So that's number three on my list.
Rich, I'm going to tell you right now, that's an excellent choice.
Well, thank you.
Was that the first year with the skill stick, the dribble stick?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I definitely remember, you know, a much better overall experience in that game than Live had been for years before. And Live went on a really nice run with that game, too, for the next few years. It was a really good game.
Especially in, like, 2006, the first one on the Xbox, when the whole thing was like, look at Dwayne Wade's sweat. That was their big selling point. Loved it. Scott Binns, number three.
My number three, if you've listened to me on this show before, this won't surprise you at all, but it was WWE SmackDown Shut Your Mouth.
Shut your mouth, Vince.
Yeah, this was the second, I think this was the last one that actually used a Rock catchphrase as a I'm sorry, I'm going to have to mute.
I'll take over there. He's correct. There were only two that... Well, no, I guess the ones on PlayStation did too.
Okay, I'm back. Yeah, the PlayStation 2, it was Know Your Role, then it was Just Bring It, and the last one was Shut Your Melon.
That would make three.
Yeah, so there were three of them. And this is the last one that used a Rock catchphrase. I think it was also the first one on PS2 that was actually really good. Just Bring It is kind of infamously bad for various reasons. I didn't play it. Shut Your Mouth is the reason I bought a PS2.
Interesting.
So
was Al Snow in the game?
I think so.
The only move I could ever do in any of those games was run up to you with Al Snow, slide between your legs, and then kick you in the back. And I stopped playing those games.
It was also the first game to get the roster in after the Invasion storyline. So it was the first WWE game that really had that mixed roster.
Yeah, it had Hogan, Nash, X-Pac.
Mm-hmm. No Scott Hall because he had his personal issues come up again, so they took him out of the game. Pretty much replaced him with X-Pac in the storylines.
Yeah, that was the problem with Just Bring It was because that came out right as the Invasion was going on, and like the best you could do was unlock Taz and like RVD, I think maybe.
And not RVD, Jerry Lynn.
Oh, okay, you got
Jerry
it.
Yep, Lynn Jerry was Lynn was in that game
for some reason. Well, he was the late heavyweight champ. But anyway, so Know Your Role was on the PlayStation 1, so I do stand by that. There were two PlayStation 2 games with the Rock catchphrase 3 overall. Okay. You got it.
Guys, great to know that is the first game that Maven was in. That's really sad. Yukes, I don't understand. They make some really good wrestling games, and then some of these games they made were, like, pretty bad.
You know, Scott, with your other choice, Scott Hall was only in WrestleMania X8. That's the only game he was...
That's right. And they also had, like, the knockoff NWO music in that one. But Shut Your Mouth had the real music.
Right.
Interesting. All right. So for my number three pick, I am going with, I want to say Joey Harrington.
It is Joey Harrington.
Is it Joey Harrington?
Absolutely.
NCAA football 2003. Again, my first year in college. We're playing college football. This may have been the greatest thing in our life. And, you know, don't tell me they didn't have Heisman thing yet.
No, they did.
Did they? And I had to go to class? I'm just going to class.
Oh, no, that was way later.
I was thinking
that wasn't 2003.
Trophy's another type career.
I'm sure the game had the Heisman Trophy, but I don't think, you know, it was just something one of your guys could win.
I mean, this might be the first game to start having really terrible college players in it. Because Joey Harrington ended up being pretty bad in the NFL. But the game did include over 200 licensed fight songs, 3D cheerleaders, and 144 different schools. And Dynasty mode that you could redshirt players. I mean, it's pretty awesome. And rivalry trophies? Come on, guys. NCAA football, the best college football game that year.
We might wind up talking about it again later.
Yeah, quite possibly.
All right, football 2003. Brad Woodling, who you got at number two?
Number two for me, again, sticking with the theme, you know, big sim guy. I was a big fan of High Heat Baseball. So High Heat Baseball 2003, although released in 2002, as we just talked about. I played the previous ones on the PC, and they were really great sim games. I mean, you had controls of minor league teams, if I'm remembering correctly, and like – you would play seasons after season in this, kind of like your own kind of like owner mode of it. And it was because we did a lot of research. We had a lot of free time back then. And this was like the sim game to have for baseball, and had Curt Schilling on the cover of it. And I don't know how much longer the series lasted after this year, but it was a good game.
It was the second to last game in the series.
Okay.
Yeah. Curt Schilling. 3DO, man. They used to make good games. Remember that? They used to make games, actually.
Yeah, they used to exist.
Yeah, 2003, they went out of business.
I get a kick out of how this is the third different baseball series we've mentioned in this.
Mm-hmm. And next year.
And we're just talking about one year.
And next year there will be one baseball series to talk about. All right, Rich Grisham, give me your number two.
I actually thought this would be number one until another particular title caught my eye, but NHL 2K3 was a lot of fun. I played both the NHL games that year, as I mentioned, but the 2K3 series with the ESPN presentation on the Xbox just absorbed an astounding amount of my time. Loved the game. Loved the smoothness of it. It was just so smooth. Could not score. I mean, I just remember game after game after game just never scoring. It was one of those things where, you know, this was really the very early days of online play. And, you know, I probably could have learned how to score a lot sooner than I did. I just remember, like, the not only the presentation and the excellent announcing, but, like, the great sound of the puck clanging off the crossbar, which it, or, you know, would always do, because I would never actually put the puck in the net. It would always bounce off of the net. But I remember just my buddy Kevin and I, who he used to live a few miles away from me, we would have, like, weekend just tournaments playing each other in seven-game series in that game. Great game. Smooth, bright, beautiful, lots of fun. Couldn't score, still loved it.
Yeah. And it really clicked for me the next year with ESPN NHL Hockey, also with Jeremy Roenick on the cover. That's when I really started getting into hockey games.
He was on two or three years in a row, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both 2K3 and ESPN NHL Hockey. An unyeared game.
Interesting. They did that with basketball, too.
They
stopped doing that.
It was what it would have been. All the 2K4 games were just ESPN, whatever. First year of that.
Speaking of Scott Binns, what you got for number two?
Number two, this one's probably off the board. It's probably a personal choice.
Is it the one I'm hovering over right now?
I don't know, because this isn't a spreadsheet that I can see what everyone is doing.
All right.
2002 FIFA World Cup.
Wow, not the one I was hovering over.
Yeah, I remember playing that game. That was definitely something I was thinking about as well. Good game.
I picked this up cheap, used for the GameCube. And I think it was just, I want a soccer game. And I couldn't even tell you why, because I say I don't care about soccer now, but I really I think the only thing I liked the International Superstar Soccer games on the N64, and I think I hadn't played a soccer game in a while. So I rented this once. I really liked it. It was one of the first games I think maybe actually taught me some things about soccer. And I think that's kind of why I played it a lot. I couldn't even tell you, I can't even tell you a whole lot about it. The one thing I can remember was the game that would put a dotted line on the field to tell you where your teammates were going to run to, so you could put the ball in the right place.
They should bring that back.
I also think it was that was when I learned that you could bend a soccer ball when you kick it.
Yes.
I was unaware of this fact prior to this game.
I gotta say, go ahead.
I probably scored most of my goals just because I would put bend on the ball.
I gotta say that just the entire World Cup, those games, I have for years enjoyed those games. Every time they come out with one, I like the one-off. I don't know what it is, right? But I just like the one-off game that's concentrated solely on the tournament, and the lead up to the tournament and the international. Even though I know it's basically a naked money grab, I just, those games have tended to be really good and a lot of fun.
Yeah, and actually the 2010 FIFA World Cup South Africa is what got me back into FIFA games.
Same here, for a little while anyway.
That game also had some legal issues, I don't know if you know.
I do not.
Really?
Yes, in 2002, Bayern Munich's goalie, Oliver Kahn, successfully sued Electronic Arts for the inclusion of him in the game without his prior consent. As a result, EA was banned from selling copies of the game in Germany and was forced to financially compensate him.
Well, you got to remember, though, they also did have swastikas on the game. That also did not help them sell them in Germany.
What?
Wait, what?
Wait, that would help. Fact.
Why would that not help them?
Look it up.
Look, I have so much respect for Rich Grisham that anything he says, I'm just going to have to believe. Yeah, that was in Japan and Korea. Why would the World Cup be in Korea and Japan?
It was in both. They're not extremely large places, and when you got all those games, you got to spread them out a little bit.
Interesting. Whose was that, Scott? 22?
Yeah, that was mine.
22.
That was
my number. FIFA World Cup. All right, guys. I believe this was Rich's honorable mention. I could be completely wrong. Madden NFL 2003.
You are correct. That was my honorable mention.
Also, Owen Good's favorite game of the last generation.
I did not know that.
Yes, you did, because you just did a podcast with him, and that's how I found out about it.
I thought it was – no, wasn't it NCAA football?
I mean, it could have been.
Yeah, it was NCAA football that year.
But yes, Madden, great game, great soundtrack. Soundtracks, I think 2002 was the year of EA doing really good soundtracks. I don't know if you guys remember Nappy Roots on that. OK Go. Yeah, OK Go was a thing back then?
Interesting. Sure.
I hardly ever pay attention to what the music is. It's just, oh, I like this, and I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same boat. It is funny. There are the few songs that stick out. There was an MLB The Show game with the song Sweep the Leg, Johnny, that, like, for whatever reason just sticks out. And there was another sports game with the song from Treble Charger that I can't exactly – it'll come to me. But, like, for whatever reason, there's these one or two or three songs that stick out. But generally speaking, overall, the soundtracks for those games are – I don't really sort of associate them with the game so much, especially these days.
Yeah, you know what it was? I think it was FIFA when they started doing, like, random Brazilian techno. That's when I kind of stopped listening to the music in games.
Or like Madden, where they didn't even have a soundtrack this year.
Well, that was for the ambiance, Rich. It's all about
I didn't necessarily mind that, honestly.
Oh, I did. I don't mind it at all. I actually prefer it.
I want the NFL Films music, though. I want that back.
Sounds professional. I bet you get that next year.
Actually, Madden 2003 was the first EA Sports video game to feature EA tracks. Hmm. And it was the first game John Madden and Al Michaels appeared as commentators, taking over for Pat Summerall.
And was that the first year you could go online and play?
I believe so.
I think so.
I remember.
Probably PS2 only, though. I think Xbox didn't come around.
Right, right.
Oh, no. Hell no. Y'all nothing done it. Such a good. I'm gonna have to go down with the entire Madden 2003 soundtrack. All right, back to Brad Woodling's favorite game of 2002.
Favorite game of 2002. Already mentioned. I'm gonna talk more about it. NCAA Football 2003.
Woo!
Because
I'm gonna stop you, Kim. We'll save some time because that is also my number one.
Okay.
Wow. How is this not on the actual list? That's what I wanted.
Yes, I blame the powers that be at Wikipedia. Because I copied this.
So us?
Yes, I blame all of everybody.
I don't know why it wasn't on there. We hypothesized before you joined, Rich, that TJ was trying to save it for himself so we would not think of it so he could talk about it.
That sounds like something he would do.
I know. So I didn't dismiss it right away. I was like, well, I'm going to make it my number one. I don't care what So, but this game was, we kind of talked about it a little bit already. So 2002, which has Chris Wanky on the cover of it, you talk about bad cover athletes. That was the first one for PS2, only released for PS2 actually in that year, which is kind of weird because they released Madden games in the PS1 through 2005. But they, that was the only one for college that year. Really liked it, but they stripped everything out of it because it was the first. Even though the PlayStation was like a year old, or PlayStation 2 was a year old, it really was pretty basic. But then they put back in all the Dynasty stuff in 2003, and the gameplay was already awesome and much better than the PlayStation just from graphics alone. And so, create a school, trophies, mascots. What TJ already talked about, definitely my number one pick. I played a lot of that game.
Oh yeah, I loved the create a school. At the time, I would like create my high school, and go with that. And then when I moved on to college the next year, I would create my college, and that was one where you could actually like create a stadium. You didn't have to like select one of the ones that is already in the game or a generic one. So that was awesome. There were so many things that were new at the time that I thought were just the most amazing things. Like the fact that you could play, and it would be the time of day based on what your system clock was. and it would like be accurate.
Yeah.
Like, I think you could play games at like dawn and it would go from night to morning.
I think this was the game when I realized NCAA was better than Madden.
Yes.
Yeah, it would I definitely didn't play Madden from like a season over season standpoint, but this one I played multiple years as Temple, and you know, and North Carolina was another one too.
All right, Rich Grisham, who's your number one game of 2002?
Nobody would ever have guessed this or picked this. I am shocked, but as soon as I saw this game on the list, it was an obvious number one. NASCAR Dirt to Daytona.
What?
I knew it. I knew Rich Grisham was going there.
I absolutely, positively love this game. This game was one of those, like, it was not your typical NASCAR game. You would, in a career mode, you would start off in a dirt track. So you'd be racing these cars on these dirt tracks. And it was short races and really, you know, a lot of bumping and grinding and smashing into guys and stuff. And you'd be able to upgrade your cars. But it wasn't, like, super in-depth. You didn't need to be a gearhead to kind of get it. You just, you know, okay, I want to upgrade my transmission. Okay, I want to upgrade my tires and stuff. And then once you would successfully complete enough, you know, complete a season or, you know, finish in a top level, and sometimes it might take you two or three seasons to do it, you would move up to the truck series, which was very interesting and very different, and it would take place on larger tracks on asphalt. And then you kind of go through the same thing, and then you would move up to the like these crazy kit cars. And then ultimately, if you made it all the way to the top, you'd be racing in NASCAR. And, you know, you'd get sponsorships. You know, it had a whole, like, of, you know, some RPG elements and some, you know, different, you know, building up your cars and stuff. I can't even tell you how many hours I spent in this game for whatever reason. And I'm not a big racing game guy and certainly not a sim racing game guy. But for whatever reason, this game, which was actually not supposed to be called Dirt to Daytona, because this is how weird it was. There would be certain like little cutscenes or something where you would see it would be like NASCAR Thunder 2 would be like, you know, the logo on the bottom right. And I would be like, that doesn't make any sense. You know, it wasn't until a few years later that I really sort of figured out what was going on. But anyway, I love NASCAR Dirt to Daytona, and I was validated that it wasn't just some weird thing with me when I did a podcast with friend of the show, Greg Seward, when we did a racing game retrospective. And he was like, oh, yeah, NASCAR Dirt to Daytona was a fantastic game. So it wasn't one of those bad games that you like. It was actually a good game that I just happened to pick up. I don't even know what caused me to pick it up, because, again, it's not my typical kind of game. But, yeah, NASCAR Dirt to Daytona was spectacularly fun. I loved it.
And it's weird, that only came out 2 months after NASCAR Thunder.
I don't think it was made. Oh, yeah, I guess it must have been made by the same guys then, if it was NASCAR Thunder. Because there was another NASCAR game that year that I think was made by somebody else.
No, this was made by the creators of NASCAR Heat.
NASCAR Heat, okay. But then maybe it said NASCAR Heat 2 or something. But, I mean, it was definitely the final title of Dirt to Daytona was not the title during much of the development of that game. That was very clear.
And it's weird. There were three NASCAR games put out that year. And now we can barely get one a year.
And that one a year is struggling to be actually a real NASCAR game.
That reminds me, Rich, did you get that on Xbox?
I do. I have it. Friend of the show, Greg Seward, sent it to me.
Rich, Thursday nights at 10 o'clock, latenightracers.com.
Going to be tough, but I will definitely make my way in there. And by the way, that game is really, really hard. Like, really hard.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Like, you guys are going to boot me out of the races because I'm going to crash into you, not because I want to, but because I can't help it.
There have already been two races where at the end I've kind of just started driving around the infield because I don't want to screw it up for anybody else.
Like, I remember, the Gran Turismo of NASCAR.
I remember a lot of good things about Dirt to Daytona. And Rich has commented on all of them. But yeah, I'm going to bring it back to Rich's number three pick, which was NBA Live 2003. Guys, I don't know why we're arguing, because that was the best game ever. Did you know the soundtrack, which, oh my god, when you bought this game, it had a double case because it came with the game and the CD of the soundtrack.
Well, that's cool.
It is the first soundtrack, first video game soundtrack in history to be certified platinum by the RIAA.
Selling like over. Just because it sold with the game.
Look, Scott.
Yo, Scott, technicalities there, man. Slow.
Watch your mouth.
It was a great soundtrack, though, TJ. I still have it. Yeah, I remember when it came out, too, and it was EA definitely had made like a shift to that was a really important focus of the game when it came out.
Yeah, especially with that. They literally revamped their whole basketball thing with that game. With the skill stick, with the music. And I remember going to GameStop a couple years ago, and I was going to trade this in. They were like, we'll give you $1.25. I was like, I will keep the soundtrack for $1.25. Get out of my face. I don't know if you guys listen to podcasts. There's a great show called Get Up On This by Jensen Karp, who used to be Hot Carl, the rapper, who was in this game. Because they put all the rappers into the game at some point as unlockables. Come on, guys.
And was Michael Jordan unlockable in that game? Or was he was in it? He was in it on the Wizards in that game. I think that was a big deal at the time.
Yeah, because normally he wasn't in the games.
Yeah.
He was like his own license.
He is his own man. All right, guys. So I guess we should come to a consensus. And I guess we know what the consensus is. Since it's not NBA Live, maybe if Rich would have put it a little higher on his list. Thanks, Rich.
Sorry, guys.
I guess we're going to have to say NCAA Football 2003 is that Sports Gamer's Game of the Year 2002. Any arguments?
I'm comfortable with that. None.
I would 100%. Say it's not at all. An EA sweep there with Madden and NBA Live getting a lot of praise, too.
Yeah. I mean, Madden was really good then.
It was. Yeah,
When they came out on PS2, that in my mind, and I'm probably going to offend, you know, maybe even myself here, I think that's when sports games kind of stopped being borderline shovelware.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because I think a lot before that was, you know, they weren't very good, and that was where a lot of the arguments of it's the same game every year came from. And I think this was finally when they started breaking out of that, whether people saw it or not.
You know, it was the second or third year for the PS2, so they had that under their belt already, too, when you usually see, like, a leap in titles then.
Yeah, and that's around the same time that we started weeding out a lot of these other games. Because when we were looking at this list earlier, just how many games came out was ridiculous compared to the list that we have for 2012.
We never mentioned it at all, but I'm curious about this. Was this the first year that Tiger Woods used the sticks to do your swing? I think it might have been.
I will say probably, being that this was the year that we did lots of stick stuff.
I would like to give it an honorable mention for that. Just for that.
Is that the green shirt year?
I have no idea.
Scott, these things are just links. You can click on them. Sometimes they don't show up.
There's no picture when you.
Oh, they are links. I had no clue they were links.
Oh, my God.
To Google Images.
I think I played this one on the PC, if that is a choice.
Then you may not have known about the sticks.
Look, Tiger Woods, let's just give EA Sports Company of the Year. But you know what? Actually, their 2K games were all good. So, I mean, we can't do that.
He did not have a green shirt on the cover. He had black.
It was next year.
Blue vest with a blue shirt. Excuse me.
Yeah, this was the one, because I remember this was like around the time that G4 was a thing and was actually good. And it probably just arrived on my... I thought it was good.
The TV show? The channel?
Yeah.
No, it was still Tech TV then. Come on, Scott.
No, G4 and Tech TV were separate.
Whatever. Tech TV was still a thing. Let's pour out a little bit
Tech TV existed too. And they showed like clips of people getting crazy holes in ones on Tiger Woods 2003 all the time. I think that's why I remember it.
With Pops Masterson, my favorite video game character of all time. He will smoke you and hit a drive about 100 yards. So, honorable mention goes to BMX XXX. Because, come on, that was ridiculous.
That was horrific. I played that game. It was terrible.
But
was it worse than ESPN NBA Tonight? because that is probably the worst basketball game ever made. And then they made a 2002 version of it too before. Mm. This was Konami.
Rich, as a critic, were you not amused by the humor, the nudity, or the game itself?
At that point, I was actually not a critic. I was trying to figure out when I started actually doing this professionally, and it was not many years after this. It was about 04, 05. But at the time, I was just, again, I was a guy who would like literally just walk into a store and pick up a couple, two or three games. And because BMX XXX had a bunch of hype, I don't know if you guys remember it, but back then, you know, it definitely had a lot of hype. And so I picked it up, and it was awful. Awful.
But the thing
was, I don't even think I unlocked the boobs. I really don't. Like, I don't think I was good enough to unlock them. I certainly don't remember them. So if I did get them, they were pretty forgettable.
Now, didn't BMX XXX evolve? Like, wasn't it? It was the BMX game that was like Tony Hawk, but
Matt Hoffman.
It was Dave Mira freestyle.
Oh, Dave Mira. That's it. Yeah.
The same group did that. Did the Dave Mirra games.
And this was going to be
all being terrible.
No, I don't think they were either.
Pretty good.
But wasn't this going to be a Dave Mirra game until he found out like what they were going to do with it, and then he took his name off of it?
Yes, when Mirra found out about the content in the game, he refused to endorse the product and took legal action against publisher Acclaim in order to prevent any further implication of his involvement in the game.
I mean, come on, guys. Acclaim said they decided to style the game after a raunchy sex comedy movie, because, I mean, who doesn't want that for their BMX racing video game?
I mean, that's what I look for in my racing video game. So I think,
and it's uncensored on the GameCube also. Nintendo somehow let that go.
No, Nintendo Nintendo had given up on that by this point.
In 2002? The GameCube was only like 2 years old.
They let Mortal Kombat 2 be uncensored.
Without a blood code?
Without a code.
Also, this was a good time for Street Hoops, which had Half Man, Half Amazing, Hot Sauce, and Headache from your And One Tournament Street Ball guys.
Ooh, Fire Pro. Go ahead.
I was going to talk about mentioned, but I'm just going to, on this list, Fire Pro Wrestling 2.
All right, let me just direct everybody to Google video games from list of video games from 2002.
Yeah, Fire Pro was the last cut off my honorable mention list, because I knew that Scott Benz would talk about at least two wrestling games. We'd probably get to it. So that's a great game.
I didn't have a Game Boy Advance at the time, so I really couldn't count it. I have it now. But
I stopped after the first one.
It was all I could do not to start playing the original Super Mario Brothers when you guys were talking about like seven wrestling games in a row, just so you know. Your Player One podcast ploy.
Interesting. All right, guys. So NCAA football 2003.
A worthy champion. Worthy champion.
Yes.
All right. Let's take a little break, which to us will be a multiple day break probably. But to you, I'm going to tell you about Stitcher, and then we'll be back. Like nothing really happened.
I'll be a popsicle by the time we actually get back to this.
You can now hear That Sports Gamer Show while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. On-demand news, talk, and more on your mobile phone. The latest episode is always available for you, no syncing needed. And no memory or storage wasted. Available on your iPhone, iPad, Android phones, and beyond. Downloading is easy. Go to Stitcher.com or check out your app store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Alright, and we are back. And by we, I mean the three of us. Minus Brad, he has left us. Because he only loves old sports games, not new sports games. Very awkward. But you can follow him on Twitter at RetroSportsGamer. No A or E in the gamer. You know, Twitter's got letter limitations. Let's talk about mobile games.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about games that you can take to the crapper with you.
Because that's really important.
You can take them.
I mean, anybody can.
Well, true.
Then just don't tell anybody. Especially when they borrow your iPad and you're like, yeah, that's been in the bathroom with me.
Yeah, that's a big unknown or a big undiscussed problem with all of these electronic devices, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Never touch anybody else's. Ever.
All right, let's switch it up this time and start with Scott. Scott, what is your number three mobile sports?
Honestly, I haven't. Can we count old games that were released on new systems?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then I'm going to go with NES Open Tournament Golf. Note that I do not own an iPhone or an Android device of any type, so I only have a 3DS.
Hey, man. Nothing to be ashamed of.
It's a legitimate platform.
Yeah. Rich owns like four of them.
I do.
See? That's cool. I'm not going to hold it against you. And NES Open is a great game.
Yes. Yeah, just a great NES golf game.
Did you – let me tell you something about NES Open that I never actually noticed till many, many years later. That on the title screen, that little – your little score thing updates. You know that?
Oh, yeah, the semi-pro – pro, yeah.
Yeah.
If you do good enough in a stroke game, you you level up, and then you can earn more money in the tournaments.
And Scott is very good in the stroke game. So, Rich Grisham, what is your number three mobile game of the year? Sports game.
Extremely difficult because you really threw me for a loop by putting all mobile titles in this, right? So, I mean, I've literally been racking my head. I've actually lost several strands of hair over this. But number three is Hot Shots Golf on the Vita. A delightful game, a great-looking game, a wonderful playing game, a game with some unique online features, as well as an extremely lengthy career mode, single player. Love it. And I think one of the reasons I love it is because I didn't play a whole lot of Hot Shots in the past. So for me, it actually felt a lot like fresher and newer, even though I realized the franchise is not exactly a newcomer. But, yeah, love it, and I still play it. More almost coming up to a year since release. It's a terrific little game.
Yeah, and every once in a while I find myself just popping in to do the daily tournament.
Yep.
Get my couple holes in. I still haven't beaten the career mode since there's so much in it.
Yeah, I know. Me neither, because like you said, there's just so much, and the Vita, there are lots of good games on the Vita, believe it or not. And sometimes it's like, okay, well, when do I go back to it? But yeah, at least once a month I pop it in and play a few rounds every time.
Yeah, I think if EA Sports bought them and just skinned that game and put like the real players on the bodies and made real courses, it's perfect. I don't think you could make a Tiger Woods better than what Hot Shots Golf is.
Hot Shots Golf to me these days, right? And we're always – I mean, I'm a very different gamer now than I was 7 years ago and 7 years before that and so on. But for these days, Hot Shots Golf is the only kind of golf game that I really want to play.
I'm down with that. For me, my number three is MLB 12 The Show. I just love MLB 12, so –
It's a wonderful game, you can't argue with it. It could be anywhere from number one to number 10 on my list. It's awesome.
I think
now correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't it pretty much straight up the same as the PS3 version, except for maybe the graphics aren't quite as nice?
Yeah. Than Diamond Dynasty not being there, it's got pretty much everything.
No, and that's, in fact, one of the things that's so remarkable about it and why the best feature of it is so good in transferring your Road to the Show guy or your franchise mode, back and forth from your PS3 to your Vita is because it is not some watered-down, stripped-down version of the game. It's as good as it gets, and it is a full-fledged, terrific game.
That is one thing I've always loved about the show. I was able to hold on playing the PS2 version for a couple of years, because it was still as good as, gameplay-wise. It didn't look nearly as nice, but gameplay-wise, it still played just as great.
I will just say one baby gripe, and it's not about the show on Vita. It's about it on the PS3. I feel like some of the menus on the PS3, they kind of dumbed down to match up with the Vita. Like when you do a fantasy draft, I think they used to fit like 8 to 10 guys on each screen. But now they only put 5, even though obviously on a TV you could fit a lot more. But it matches what's on the Vita now.
I think if there's one universal issue we have with sports games these days is the menus are all terrible. No matter.
Yeah.
They're either too simple, too complex, but I can't think of one sports game where I like the menus. They're all degrees of dislike.
Yeah, quite true.
I'm going to off-site NHL as I'm not sure what else they could do.
Well, that's the thing. These games are so huge, right? There are so much in these games. I mean, ultimately, you do have to provide all of these items for someone to click on. But, We could get into a 30-minute conversation, so I won't.
Yeah.
Menus are a problem, and they will. I think they will be until these games get split up into five individual pieces you can buy, as opposed to one huge $60 game with everything in the world thrown into it.
Like Fight Night Champion.
Exactly.
All right, Scott, what do you got at number two?
My number two, sadly, will be Mario Golf, the Game Boy Color game. That was also released on the 3DS this year.
Now, how I know. Much different from NES Open is that?
Quite a bit, actually. It's got one more course. There's a little bit of an it's got a little bit of an RPG element to it, in that the single player mode is you like trying to be the best golfer in the world, or in Mario's world anyway. And you got to go around, and there's challenges that'll help you earn more experience points, and stuff like that. There's actually terrain in the game, like hills and stuff, is actually represented, even though it's all in 2D. So it was one of those. They both came out this year. NES Open Golf, if you were an ambassador, like I believe Rich is, you've had that for a while.
Yes, I am an ambassador, and I don't think I've ever even downloaded that.
Oh. Well, NES Open is the one you would, not Mario Golf, but just a good little golf game, and I feel the way about Mario Golf that you guys do on Hot Shots, because I've never actually played a Hot Shots game. I probably should. And that is that's the kind of golf game I want to play.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, Rich, what's on your list at number two?
Well, I have to combine number two, because it would be unfair to do anything other than that. Number two is both FIFA Soccer for the Vita and New Star Soccer for the iOS. And the reason I have to combine the two is because it would be unfair to leave either of them off, but yet I can't make either of them number one.
Interesting.
New Star Soccer is spectacular. It is so much fun. It is so simple, but yet it is so huge. It is... The soccer aspect of the game is really just a delight. It's made for the touchscreen. You know, you're given little moments in time in a game where you have an opportunity to either pass the ball or, you know, kick the ball into or attempt to kick the ball into the net for a goal, or to play defense or to make a corner kick. But in, you know, between those brief moments in time when you're able to make a play, you are, you know, following the course of the game and so on and so forth. So you can go for, you know, an entire half and not get an opportunity, or you can go for a half and get 10 opportunities to play. And, of course, the little physics of how you kick the ball and the wind and stuff are just wonderful. And then on top of that, you throw in the fact that there's this entire, like, role-playing game behind it where you can get transferred to different squads. You've got a girlfriend. You've got teammates. You've got the boss that you have to impress. You've got the press on your back. You've got all these skills that you can upgrade. It is an astounding game for almost no money.
How much is this? This is an iPhone game?
It's like, yeah, it's an iOS game. It's like 99 cents. And but what's interesting is you can play it. I've played it, I don't know, I'm probably my eighth or ninth season now, and I'm still not a very good player, because that's sort of the rub of the game. I've had a great time the whole time, but I'm still not a superbly good player because I haven't spent any real money, which is ridiculous for the amount of time I spent on the game. I should have spent some real money.
Just throw him a couple bucks.
Yeah, I will.
Not even for the game, just to...
Just for morality purposes, exactly. No, it's wonderful. I just play it like crazy. The reason I actually haven't spent any money is I typically play it like on a plane or, you know, in transit when I'm not really able to, you know, want to spend money or, you know, get connected. But conversely, you know, I contrast that with FIFA Soccer, which on the Vita, the launch game, was – and basically it is a PS3 version of the game shrunken down onto the Vita. I prefer the Vita Soccer to any other type of soccer because of the great way that you can touch to aim at the net, which is by far the best aiming mechanic in any soccer game I've ever played, ever. It looks great. It's so smooth. You've got all the teams, all the players, all the competitions, the, you know, the single player modes. You've got online play. I couldn't separate these two. I couldn't put one on top of the other, so I'm combining them as a dual number two.
Now, let me ask you a question, which might be a spoiler. Are you talking about the FIFA Soccer that released at the launch?
Yes.
Okay.
I am. And it's not a spoiler because FIFA 13 is not my number one.
All right. Just not as good as the other one?
It's basically the same game.
All right.
Which is why I'm explicitly saying it's FIFA Soccer, because as a launch title, it is more, so much more impressive what they were able to do under the gun of, you know, that launch date never moves, right? So, you know, it is wonderful. And, you know, but they're such different games. I mean, FIFA Soccer is a $40 or $50 game, or at least it was at launch, whereas New Star Soccer is a super cheap dollar or $2 game. Yet I played dozens of hours with both of them. They're completely different, yet they're both deep and they're both wonderful. I just love them both.
Excellent.
You guys are making me want a Vita.
I mean, you should get one.
You should.
But we've already discussed that. Certain individuals in your life may not be excited if you did that. Or may not be in your life anymore if you showed
that,
up.
That would be the thing, yes.
Well, with my number two, I'm actually going to agree with Rich's number three and go with Hot Shots Golf World Invitational on the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's very few games that are like the perfect amount of time to play on mobile. I remember back in the PSP days, tennis game, Virtua Tennis World Tour, or whatever it was called. That thing, you could sit down, you could play a game or two, and you'd be like, you know what, I'm quite satisfied. And whatever I was doing is finished, even if what I was doing was pooing. So, yeah, Hot Shots World Invitational. I mean, if you have a Vita and you don't have it, it's like $20 on Amazon. You should probably pick it up.
How do you swing in that game? Is it buttons? Is it
There's touchpad? Several ways. There's several ways. You can do, you know, your typical Tiger Woods three buttons. You can use the sticks. You know, you sort of unlock different ways that you can shoot as you progress through the game. And, you know, some will give you a better opportunity to hit the ball farther, but you have a smaller window to make connections and stuff.
So and it actually makes a difference what you do, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Scott, there's one where it's much like NES Open, so you'll feel right at home.
Well, yeah, it's kind of one. You know, I would probably go with whatever is the most allows for the most error. If you get what I mean.
I actually have wound up using the default, you know, the standard mechanic more than anything else.
What is the default mechanic? I guess
it's the you know, the three, the tap tap tap. You know, you tap once to start the swing, tap another to set the power, and tap a third to get the accuracy on the way back down.
Okay. And actually, they have like four different ones that are all three tap ones, but one's like the flat bar, like NES Open has. One's where the bar is actually your backswing, and you hit it in the top of your backswing, and then hit it back in the middle. And there's one where the bar is horizontal, and you hit it at the max for the power, and then like a circle gets bigger and smaller as it gets closer to the center, the sweet spot. But lots of choices. Anyway. Scott. Lots of choices.
All right, just curious.
All right, Scott.
There's still not a Vita in my future, so.
There should be.
I mean, Santa Claus is coming to town, Scott. what do you got at number one, Mr. Benz?
For number one, which is going to be a clean sweep for a certain character here, Mario Tennis Open on the 3DS, an actual 3DS game that is actually new this year.
That was mad.
It's a great game. All right, I shouldn't say great. It's a good game.
Is it good enough that you actually went online and Google image search for all the QR codes for the characters?
I did not Google image search for them, but I did actually go onto the Club Nintendo website and get what was left the other day.
I think you forgot about that whole QR code thing, didn't you?
I did too, and then I was just like on the computer and my 3DS is actually sitting here like, oh yeah, I should do that.
We should do that.
And they're like, oh, and now I've got like every color Yoshi ever.
I mean, that's not a bad
thing. Anyway, Mario Tennis. If you've played Mario Tennis, you know what Mario Tennis is. This game is great with options. You can go online. There's not a whole ton to say about it. It's not my favorite Mario Tennis game ever, but the fact that it's on the 3DS.
How's the 3D, Scott? Oh, too soon?
You have to bring that up. Did we talk about, were we on the air when we talked about how you guys don't even like use the 3D?
I don't believe so.
anyway.
I don't use the 3D, but I don't use the 3D because quite often my son will be like, can I play? Can I play? Can I play as I'm playing it? And he's five, and the doctors are like, yeah, you really want to not have your five-year-old's eyes trying to grasp the 3D. So I like, I always have it turned off.
And Scott just can't see 3D. All right, Rich. What's your number three, sir?
You mean my number one?
Yeah, I mean your third choice, thus being your
just
first.
Number one.
My number one is the NHL 13 app on my iPhone.
Wow.
Because no, excellent. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I mean, but that's a good pick.
But I use it all the time.
I did not at all. I thought you were serious.
No, but I did want to just mention that because I use it all the time. Checking who I'm going to be playing, checking my stats and stuff for our awesome that sports game or Triple D league. Why I just wanted to give that app some love.
Go ahead, Scott.
Why is there not a website for that?
I mean,
there may be.
No, there's not.
No, there isn't. Okay.
Which makes no sense.
No, my number one mobile game is easily MLB 12 The Show. I spent the most time this year probably playing it. I just love the fact that you have such a deep, wonderful game that's portable. I adore, and I've spoken about it hundreds of times, I adore the ability to, especially as a guy who travels, be able to keep my road to the show alive as I'm on the road. I love the, like I said, as we already talked about, the full-fledged, deep gameplay. I love everything about it. You know, the only thing that really kind of stands out as a negative is the crowd looks really brutally bad when you're playing the game. It's almost like you kind of wish they had somehow just done something a little different to make it not stand out. But that is such a little nitpick in a game that is so fundamentally strong. Such a wonderful game and offers almost everything that the PS3 game does. It's a pretty amazing technical achievement. And, it's hands down my mobile game of the year.
If I had a Vita, it probably would have been mine too.
It is an excellent choice. The only thing I wish, well, I've already had another gripe, but the Vita, the left thumbstick, I wish it was a little bit taller.
Well, yeah, there are other issues with the game in that the pitching, the aiming with the right thumbstick is super jumpy, super de-duper jumpy. But again, it's the kind of thing that, you know, at first you're like, whoa, this is pretty tough. And then you just sort of figure it out and you roll with it. So
now, can you hit better in that than the console version?
I seem to, but I have played, I'd probably say 75% of the game I played has purely been Road to the Show, and I'm a pitcher in Road to the Show, and I'm in like my eighth season. So, I have batted very little.
Gotcha.
That would negate our, video delay lag theory on the Vita, come to think of it.
What?
When Dr. Ken was on, didn't we talk about how we thought maybe hitting was somewhat hard in the show because of like the video lag. Like in Rock Band, you can actually adjust that to your setup.
Right, right.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's just hitting's hard.
Well, that too. I'm just saying that doesn't help any.
And by the way, people on the internet who, when I occasionally complain about hitting being hard, responding with, "Well, you know, the best hitters of all time are only successful 3 out of 10. I'm like, yes, I understand hitting at the major league level is difficult, but I also understand that this is a video game and I am trying to occasionally have fun when I'm hitting.
Right.
There are such things called balance. So, anyway.
All right. My number one game is actually New Star Soccer.
A fine choice.
And I will tell you this. It has almost nothing to do with anything you have said about New Star Soccer.
What?
All that stuff is awesome, Rich. I mean, that whole RPG thing, great. Scott, there's a whole other mode to this game.
Oh, the arcade mode?
The arcade mode?
Yeah.
How do I describe such a thing? Scott!
I know nothing.
Scott, you ever been to one of those places where they have lots of games, sometimes called an arcade?
Yes, yes. As little as they exist anymore, yes, I have.
Well, I'm going to go to the most game that you will probably have never seen in an arcade. Have you ever seen one where there's a putting green, and, like, each time you putt, the green changes? Like, there's little, like, actuators under it to make the hills different?
Actually, yes. I do remember an arcade here in town that had that eons ago.
Okay.
Did you just use the word actuator?
Yeah, the little things.
I have never heard that word before.
I mean, hey, I'm a wordsmith.
Indeed you are.
So, I really don't think that was a great example. So what you get is you are essentially shooting from a spot at the goal with the goalie there. And you have a wind that you have to deal with. And in the first couple levels, there's no defenders. But you have to shoot from your spot, get the ball into the net, as would be the obvious good outcome of soccer. Sometimes
it's like a soccer puzzle game.
Sometimes the ball rolls by. Sometimes the ball bounces by. So you have to hit it at the right spot so that you will get the proper spin to get it to wherever you're going. You following me, Scott?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. As you progress through these levels, which I've only made it to about 27, which I don't know how I made it that far one time, they'll add multiple defenders on the field, more wind, the goalie will become better. So sometimes you'll have to, like, shoot to the right to go over some defenders that are on the left, but not too far because there's more defenders on the right. Also, you're going to have to curve the ball back to the left behind those defenders because the goalie's on the right side. Scott, it's amazing. It's like
either my sinuses are getting more messed up with the cold I have, or my head just exploded.
I mean, I think your head just exploded. New Star Soccer, awesome game. So I guess it's between me and Rich, since Scott, I'm not giving any Mario game mobile sports game of the year.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't. Don't get me wrong.
You know what? MLB 12, the show. That sports gamer mobile game of the year.
If you asked me to vote, I would have voted for it. I would have voted for a game I never played.
Yeah. I'm going with that. Rich, do you have a problem with that? Obviously not, because that's your number one. So.
No, I obviously don't have a problem with it. It is a little, you know, I feel a little sad for New Star Soccer in that, you know, I think comparing a 99-cent game with a $40 game on a platform that you have to spend $200+ to get versus a platform that virtually all of us have is a little unfair. But as long as
everybody had to buy a phone.
As long as every
$100.
Oh yeah, but I mean everybody has a phone. Like you don't live in this world today as a functional human being without having some sort of a smartphone, right? I mean,
right, Scott?
That's wrong.
True. Come on now,
Scott's rocking the T9.
I said some form of a smartphone. I didn't say it had to be a cutting edge.
Okay, so but the fact that I can get on the internet counts,
right? Exactly.
Okay, sure. You can play Snake on it.
There are apps and games on that phone of yours, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, yeah. Nothing I actually care to play, but yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's a little, you know, the most important thing is that the listeners know that New Star Soccer is amazing and MLB The Show is amazing. And I think we did a good job communicating that.
I'm quite happy. So why don't we take a little break and we'll come back and talk about cover athletes. Sound good?
Let's do it.
Sounds good.
Let me take a second to tell you about Netflix. Netflix lets you instantly watch unlimited TV episodes and movies over the internet right on your TV, Wii console, PS3 system, Xbox 360, network-connected Blu-ray players, HD TVs, and more. Watch as much as you want, as often as you want, for only $7.99 a month. Start your free trial today by heading over to thatsportsgamer.com/Netflix. And after you sign up for Netflix, let me highly recommend the movie Warrior, which tells the story of two estranged brothers entering a mixed martial arts tournament and deals with the brothers' struggling relationship with each other and their father. The two brothers are Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton, and the father is Nick Nolte. Pretty good movie. I highly recommend it. So make sure you head over to thatsportsgamer.com/Netflix and sign up now for your 2-week free trial. All right, and we're back again. Rich Grisham, we have his complete attention, even though he's playing arcade mode to do Star Soccer now. All right, let's talk about the people that graced the covers of the games that we love. Who should we start with, guys? You know what? You know what? I'm going to start.
All right.
I could probably talk less about this than I could about mobile games.
I mean, that's sad, Scott. Scott, just go to pro-sportreference.com, and then my first choice is NCAA 13 cover athlete RG3. Dude's pretty amazing. Redskins, kind of terrible. Now 7-6 as of the time of this recording. He already has almost 300 yards. Let's see. You know.
8-6.
Scott, is that true? I don't think so. Did they play yesterday? Scott, you're ruining this whole podcast. 18 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. I mean, that's pretty good.
I thought it was like a 3-way tie in the East and they were all 8-6. Which makes sense. There's only 2 games left.
If they win their final 2 games, they win the division. I know that. Whatever their record is.
Did you guys know that he is leading the league in yards gained per pass attempt and percentage of times intercepted when attempting to pass?
What I do know is that he has completely energized a franchise that has been down for many years.
Yeah. Like suddenly the Redskins are relevant again.
And because of RG3, who I met last fall, I actually do not hate the Redskins as much as I did. And in fact, they're playing the Eagles. By the time this show goes live, they will have just played the Eagles. But I'm actually going to watch that game for the first time in a month, watch an Eagles game, simply because I know RG3 is going to be playing and he's an exciting guy to watch.
Yeah. Hope he does good coming off that injury.
Because I now hate my favorite team, which is a terrible, terrible problem.
I mean, that's something that happens.
It does, and it has.
Well, they're going to have to rebuild.
Again.
Mike Vick, New York Jets, what's up?
Go for it. Please, take him.
Rich Grisham, who is your third favorite cover athlete of the year?
Well, this is easy for me. My favorite team is the Brooklyn Nets. My favorite player on my favorite team is Darren Williams. Darren Williams, the cover athlete of the worst sports game of the year, according to everybody on the internet, what? NBA Baller Beats.
Rich, are you on the right internet? Are you? That's my question, because the guys over at Cheap Ass Gamer love NBA Baller Beats.
Well, they love it because of the basketball, not because
of the game. Didn't they say, like, for $20, it's a good deal on a basketball?
On a basketball, absolutely.
There is a $17 basketball that you do get for free. But I think Wombat or Shipwreck actually really like the game. I could be completely wrong. But they talk about it a lot.
Luckily, this isn't a review of the game because I didn't play the game. But Darren Williams is one of my favorite guys in the NBA right now. And it's fun having a basketball team. Now, obviously, they were the New Jersey Nets for many, many years, and they were my favorite team. I kind of struggled whether I would adopt them moving forward, but I have because they didn't move that far. And I'm also a fan of the New York Mets. So being in that same metropolitan area, this whole convoluted logic I have. So. And, you know, let's face it, having Darren Williams helm the team made it a little easier to keep liking him because he's such a great point guard, so fun to watch. So that's my number three.
Didn't he just yell at the team?
He does a lot of that sometimes. They're not playing that well in the last few weeks. So,
Rich, we should go to a Nets game. I've not been to the Barclays Center. Which is
Nor have I.
So we should do that.
That sounds like a plan.
All right. Scott Binns.
Okay, well, I would never give a number one spot to this, but my number three is CM Punk on WWE 13, and you can start sending me hate mail now for choosing a quote-unquote not real athlete. Yeah, I know wrestling's fake, but as far as pro wrestling goes, there's no one who's been better in the last year. I looked it up. He has been WWE champion now for like a year and a month. And it's actually the longest reign since Hulk Hogan's like first reign, which went for like 3 years in the mid-80s. I mean, so he's got to be doing something right.
Is he hurt now?
He had knee surgery. I don't think it's too major. I think he's going to be back in time for the Rumble. But
I mean, we obviously should have stripped the title from him, right?
But yeah, so you can knock on me all you want for choosing a fake athlete and a fake sport, but that's my choice.
I mean, he's made wrestling kind of relevant again.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah. And still, it's predetermined, but to have the company say, you know, you're the guy that represents us for a year, that says something.
And he's been able to do it without having to, like, give up the belt and then have a whole storyline where he tries to win it back.
Yeah, exactly.
Also a bonus. All right, CM Punk. I got no problems with that, Scott.
All right.
I will go with my second pick, Justin Verlander, the cover athlete of MLB 2K12, which is a game I would never recommend to anybody.
What? It's a good game.
MLB 2K12?
Absolutely.
Have you played this game called MLB 12 The Show?
I did not say it was as good as MLB 12 The Show. I mean, it was a good game. In fact, the pitching is more entertaining in MLB 2K and has been for years than it is in the show.
I would say entertaining.
I would. Well, I mean, it's all in a personal opinion. I can also actually hit the ball in MLB 2K as well. Like, I would take Road to the Show over the MLB single-player mode every time, but I would not have a problem playing somebody one-on-one in a nine-inning baseball game, you know, in the traditional mode in MLB 2K12. Absolutely not. Now, does it look as good? No. Does it have, does it have some legacy graphical issues that MLB 12 The Show doesn't have? No. I mean, it's not as good of a game. However, it was, in my opinion, it was underappreciated this year. It was there's a lot to like about MLB 2K12.
Make sure you guys pick it up next year when it will still be 2K Sports' most recent baseball game.
It will be.
All right. Justin Verlander, all he did was lead his team back to the World Series again, came in second in the Cy Young, eighth in the MVP. Went 17-8. You know, 17-8 is very good until you look at the year before when he went 24-5.
Yeah, but his team also made the World Series, too.
Yeah, 2.64 ERA, six complete games, led the league in innings and strikeouts. I mean,
he's the best pitcher of our generation.
He's amazing. Let's not get crazy. He is, according to the Fan ELO Raider on Baseball Reference, he is the 173rd best pitcher of all time. Which obviously that is wrong because it has Javier Vasquez in front of him. So
I was going to say, I mean, that sounds pretty low.
I mean, he might be at least 172nd.
I would probably even go so as far to say as he might be in the top 164.
That's possible. I mean, there's guys like Doyle Alexander and Dutch Leonard ahead of him, so it might be a little struggle.
I would definitely say if I needed to win a game, I would definitely take Justin Verlander over Doyle Alexander, who I saw pitch.
Also a Tiger?
I saw him pitch. He was not as good as Justin Verlander at all.
But he was traded from the Braves, right? He was all about that thing. He was traded towards the end of his career.
Yeah, wait. This was a big deal, actually. This was
Straight up trade, too.
Was it I'm trying. It was like a big-name pitcher. It was like Dave Steeb or Jack Morris or something like that.
No, it was a no-name rookie at the time.
I don't know.
A little-known pitcher named John Smoltz.
Okay. I had the J, right?
Hey.
Jack, you know, yeah. John, close.
Doyle Alexander was traded for John Smoltz in August of 87.
There you go.
And then John Smoltz should be in the Hall of Fame now, my guys.
We'll just say for the record, Verlander, better than Doyle Alexander.
I mean, then he's at least in the top 170.
There you go. Point made.
All right, Rich, who is your number two?
My number two is the combo of Novak Djokovic and Maria Sharapova in another game that was underappreciated this year in Grand Slam tennis too. Djokovic is one of three guys that are just – I don't know if anybody watches big-time tennis anymore, but boy, the three guys, Federer, and Nadal and Djokovic are just tremendously entertaining to watch. They're all at relatively near the peaks of their power right now. And this was kind of a fun game and an interesting cover. So that's my number two.
I really loved the demo of that game. I played that a lot and always contemplated buying the game, but never did.
Yeah, it was tough to justify. You know, there was a lot to like about the game, but the single player mode was bizarre. And you know, it's had I played it a little more online or had someone to play with it, you know, and sort of couch multiplayer, probably would have been even more fun. But there was some good stuff, and the Wimbledon, or not the Wimbledon, but the historical moments that it would insert you into were also really entertaining. So there's some good stuff in that. If you can pick it up cheap, you know, it's worthwhile if you like tennis at all.
Excellent, sir. Scott Binns, number two.
Oh, hey, okay, I'm still here. Now I think I know how Dr. Ken felt listening to us talk about wrestling. sorry, I am a horrible sports fan. Actually, I just changed mine based on what you guys are talking about. I'm going to go with Justin Verlander on 2K12. Based on like accomplishments in the year that he was on the game, made the World Series, all that other stuff you guys talked about. So, Justin Verlander.
Interesting. So, since I don't want you guys to ruin this, I'm going to go back to Rich for his number one pick.
Well, this one also is easy for me, and for mostly personal reasons. It is Calvin Johnson on Madden NFL 13. I had the pleasure of sitting down for a one-on-one interview with Calvin right after he won the cover vote. I was in Times Square when he won the cover vote for the live taping of the ESPN show. Got to be there while all the pictures were being taken for the cover, and then got to interview him the next day. And on this very evening that we were recording this show, Calvin Johnson broke the record for the most yards receiving in a year. So, I mean, I don't think anybody could make a decent case that he doesn't deserve it. He had a great year. He's a great player. He's a good person. And Calvin Johnson is my number one cover athlete.
Excellent, sir. Scott Binns, what would you like to chime in on this one?
Yeah, well, Rich pretty much just said it better than I could. So Calvin Johnson was pretty much for that. I was having a hard time until about an hour ago when he set that record. That happened. I'm the idiot who didn't even know they were playing tonight.
I saw your tweet. You're like, wait, there's a football game?
Who plays soccer on a Saturday? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, no, the worst part is I was upstairs earlier. My mom and dad are watching the game. I thought it was a replay. I thought they were watching an NFL Network replay.
That's great.
Now, guys.
But at the same time, I'm like, when did the Lions and Falcons play? I don't remember that. Anyway.
Guys, look. I love you too. As an also. But I also love you too. As in two people. Since I am at That Sports Gamer on Twitter, I'm going to overrule you both.
You're allowed to do that.
Because That Sports Gamer's cover athlete of the year, not only because he's on the cover of two games, being EA Sports' FIFA Street and FIFA 13. Let me break down to you a little bit about what Lionel Messi did this year. Are you ready for this? Scott, remember your mind that blew before? Prepare to be reblown.
I don't know if you can blow my mind with soccer more than once.
Lionel Messi is the first player ever to score 5 goals in a Champions League match. Pretty amazing, huh?
All right.
Scott,
five goals in one match?
Yes, 5 goals in one match.
Okay, that is amazing. I understand that.
Scott, do you know how in some sports they keep track of what minute you score something in?
Mm-hmm.
Soccer has 90 minutes. Okay?
Okay.
This year, there are 7 minutes in which Lionel Messi did not score a goal.
Oh, wow.
That would be the 1st, 2nd, 10th, 14th, 15th, 46th, and 69th minutes. Other than that, he put in at least one. He has the record for most La Liga hat tricks in one season. Consecutive La Liga matches with goals. Goals with Argentina within a calendar year. He scored 12 in just 9 matches. Goals in a Champions League season where he got a lot. 14.
Well done. Oh, yeah. And you backed it up with the actual numbers. It's almost better without the numbers. He got a lot.
let's see. Scored. Oh, you know what? They're in the. They're actually in the thing. He scored 15 away goals. It's pretty good. He scored 25 goals against international competition. 50 goals in a La Liga season. Scored 56 goals in La Liga in 2012. Scored 47 goals in Europe. He scores a goal. Let me tell you something, Rich. If you started a game that Lionel Messi played in at the beginning of recording this podcast, he has already scored by now.
If he could only make it to a World Cup final, he would be my cover athlete of the year.
I mean, he doesn't care about international, and he did amazing things. He scores once every 63 minutes.
I mean, anybody who knows anything knows that Lionel Messi in 2012 is probably the peak performance of any soccer player ever.
Yes.
So we get that. So
74 goals for his club, 86 goals for his club and country. Guess what? That doesn't count another five he scored in friendlies. Dude scored 91 goals in 2012.
And he's like 5'3", too. He's like incredibly small dude.
He is amazing. And he gets tossed around the field sometimes. It's ridiculous. Like, they just breathe on him and he falls down. 91 goals.
That's a lot of soccer players, but...
I mean, how do you score 91 goals in a year? Ridiculous. Literally best player on earth. And he's, what, 24?
Oh, 25? My God.
24, 25?
I think he's 25.
Age 25. Turned 25 in June.
Which is actually middle age for a soccer player.
That's
for
true.
For a world-class soccer player.
Yeah. He is 5'7". And amazing.
He's as tall as me. Wow. All right, then.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he'd kick you in the nuts, and it would come out your mouth.
I don't doubt that, but I don't wish that.
While I guess getting a lot of yards is one thing, scoring a bunch of goals is another thing. That's what I'm giving Lionel Messi.
But I did not meet him this year, so there.
I mean, you don't speak Argentinian, so he probably wouldn't have talked to you. Is Argentinian a language?
I don't know. No, it's not. They speak Spanish.
I would say Spanish, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. They speak Spanish everywhere in South America except in Brazil, where they speak Portuguese.
You know what? Co-cover athlete of the year. Lionel Messi.
That works.
Calvin Johnson.
All right. I can live with that.
That works. Yeah.
Though Calvin Johnson's thing will be eclipsed quite soon when Adrian Peterson sets a new rushing record.
Let's tell Ryan Lewis to get working on the Photoshop of that.
Oh, that would be a nice idea.
Well, let's not forget quite possibly the most important thing that Calvin Johnson has managed so far this season. He hasn't been injured.
Yes, the Madden curse has definitely been broken this year.
The worst thing about Calvin Johnson is the Lions.
That is quite
yes.
true.
Yes, yes.
I was just trying to pull up their record, actually. I'm pretty sure it's not so good.
I think they're 4-11 right now.
They are 4-11. Hey, you know what? That means they're going to have another really good player on their team next year.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's a good thing, I guess. So Calvin Johnson, Lionel Messi, co-cover athletes of the year. Guys, that was quick. Why don't we take a little break, and then we'll come back and talk about our game of the year. Sound good?
Let's do it.
Excellent. Scott, you still alive?
Yeah, I'm still alive.
All righty.
The cold hasn't killed me yet.
All right, let's take a break. Hey, guys, everybody knows you don't want to leave the house. Neither do I. That's why I do the majority of my video game shopping on Amazon.com. If you want to help support That Sports Gamer Show, what you need to do is go to thatsportsgamer.com/Amazon and then shop Amazon like you normally do. That'll help us out and show us that you love the show, and we highly appreciate it. So just remember, if you're going to shop at Amazon, go to thatsportsgamer.com/Amazon and help us out. All right, guys, and we're back. You like that?
I do.
So, game of the year. Highly anticipated thing, I would assume.
Yes.
It's funny because we've almost already had this conversation in the past, but also in the future. Which is amazing. Think about
it. We should just copy that part on the end of this.
I mean, we could, but that would be too easy. We don't do anything easy around here. First off, let's go with honorable mentions. Sound good? We're each going to do our top three lists. We'll start with honorable mentions. I'm going to throw out the double pick of NCAA Football 13. Awesome game. And NHL 13. make sure you go to thatsportsgamer.com/leagues. You can sign up when we got openings. Scott Bins.
UFC on UFC 3.
I'm down with that. Rich Grisham.
NFL Blitz and FIFA 13 are my honorable mentions.
FIFA 13 is your honorable mention, Rich.
It is. It is.
That stupid New Star Soccer taking all of your time.
I mean, had this been a month or so ago, it would not have been an honorable mention. But
it wouldn't have been on the list, would it?
No, it would have been. It would have been on the list. It's just in the last 6 weeks, something that you'll find out shortly has moved FIFA off of the top three and down into number four.
Dear God, if you say NASCAR the game inside line, I might never have you back on the show. All right, Scott Bins, what is your number three favorite sports game of this year?
Madden 13.
It's a beautiful game.
It is. Basically, they took a lot of chances this year, and I liked that. They didn't necessarily pull them all off as well as they could have. Connected Career Mode, it's a great first attempt, and there's still a lot of fun to be had there, but you can tell it's a first attempt. Same with the physics engine. First attempt. A lot of good stuff there, a lot of goofy stuff there that's just fun to look at, but overall, it all comes together and is pretty fun. But it also still falls into some of the same problems that Madden has always had. And, you know, it's close to becoming the game we all want it to be, but it's not quite there yet.
I agree. I think it kind of took a step back this year, but because of those things that you mentioned. But that step back is the one that's going to give them five steps forward next year. Once they clean up the physics engine, they straighten out connected career mode, I think Madden 14 is going to be one of the best games ever. Rich Grisham.
Bold prediction.
Madden NFL 13. For one reason, and that's the fourth string league. It keeps me playing the game. When you play Madden against somebody who is at or around your skill level, it is very entertaining. I love it and I hate it at the same time.
Yes.
It drives me insane. You can't throw an out pass without giving up a pick six. You can't run the ball up the middle. I can't run the ball outside either because my offensive line is terrible. Yet the gameplay is significantly better than it has been for the last couple of years. But like I said, ultimately it comes down to the fact that the fourth string league, we just had our draft last week and it was a whole lot of fun. I'm playing my preseason, my year two. The game really starts to get more interesting as you get out of using the, 2012 rosters and your team starts to take a little bit of a different shape, So that really is why it is for me. Had this been a couple of months ago, it would not have been on the list, but really just by consistently playing it each and every week, the last couple of weeks and putting in all the time. And, that's why it's, connected careers is fine and dandy. But again, really for me, it comes down to just being in that league, playing a couple times a week, every week.
I can't believe that we got all but three people to show up to that.
That was crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like I was flipping through the list. It's like green light,
and
red
how
light.
Fun.
He said he wasn't.
By the way, how fun was that draft? That was a blast.
I normally don't care about drafts at all.
Me neither.
That was a blast. Just listening to friend of the show Jeff Solomon freak out every time.
That was gold. That was gold. He's like, oh my God, I have to take him. I don't want to take him. And then he was completely thrown off for the rest of the night by that. Completely thrown off. It was spectacular.
But it was great when you guys would be like, oh, I had him on my list. It was
Yep.
I guess I didn't scout enough for that. But anyway.
And I'm sure there are other games. Like I've been in NBA 2K drafts, when I've done fantasy drafts. I'm sure there are other games that if you have the right community have that. But Madden just seems almost perfectly suited for that. So.
And I like that you can do the live draft because do you guys remember trying to do email drafts?
Oh God.
That was ridiculous. How long did it actually take you to do the whole draft?
Like a week.
I mean, in the live one.
Oh, like 3 hours.
Hour and a half?
Oh, yeah, it was less than that.
Yeah, like, because it was only four rounds. I mean, I was only able to be there for an hour, and I got through three rounds. So,
it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's probably what we should have been doing the whole time, but we just didn't think it would work out.
Well, kudos to Mike Susick for like making sure everybody in the world knew the date and the time months beforehand. And like I said, 29 of the 32 showed up. So unbelievable.
It's pretty amazing. All right. My number three, MLB 13, the show. I mean, MLB 13, the show. Guys, remember back in the day when sports video games had the year next? So, yeah, MLB 12, the show, will be my number three pick. We've said a lot of good things about MLB 12.
Yes.
And
there are lots of good things to say about it.
It's a very competent game, a well-deserved number three on this list.
I'm going to quick amend that to my honorable mention as well.
Sure.
And I blanked on it.
Scott Binns, I'm so excited for MLB 13.
I am too.
There's already a sign up for our league.
Why are you excited? And I don't mean in that in a snarky way. Like, why are you excited for it for next year's game?
I mean, I love baseball. Easily my favorite sport.
Right.
So, you know, once you start saying, hey, we're having a cover athlete vote in like 2 weeks.
Right.
January 7th, guys. MLB.com/covervote. I just get excited, and I get like that rush in my insides. It's like, yeah, we've got a new MLB game coming out.
I'm excited for new hardware sports games, but I'm also cautious about them. And I'm not excited, and again, not in a negative way. Not like I'm not going to play it, but I'm not excited about any of the console games for next year because it is such at the end of this console cycle. I know they're all going to be good because they're all good this year, right? There was no bad sports video games this year. There were ones that weren't as good as others, but they were all good. But it's hard for me to get like excited. Certainly looking forward to, but excited is a word I wouldn't use.
I mean, as the sport comes near, I always get excited for whatever game it is.
Yeah.
Like, I'll say, you know what, I'm just not going to buy Madden next year. But, you know, if we start having two-a-days, Mike and Mike start talking about football. Oh, wait, that happens every day. I mean,
you know, they can't have two-a-days anymore.
Listen, Scott. There was a show on MTV called Two It Is.
Was a show. Not is. Was.
It is one of the greatest shows of all time. Where were we? Scott Binns.
Oh, I think I'm going to number two.
Number two game of your list.
WWE 13. And mostly because of Attitude Era mode. It was going to take basically Attitude Era mode to get me to actually care about WWE 13 this year. Because I'm so, like, I still am a wrestling fan, but I don't feel like I need the game every year now, like, because the new guys don't interest me that much. But then, Attitude Era mode. So basically, you're throwing a game at me that is the game I would have wanted in 1998. And it's, you know, it's almost as accurate as had it come out in 1998.
Well, he did add that little thing about Triple H kind of being the one that wanted to Bret Hart.
But yeah, that wouldn't have happened in 1998. Well, and you know, there would have been other people in the, like they had China. But anyway, you know, there was such great attention to detail. It was a labor of love, and then the gameplay was improved to go along with it. The gameplay was probably improved the way it would have been without Attitude Era mode, and you know, it's really good this year, I think. The creation suite, as they like to be called, is as big as it's always been, to the point where they're the story creator. I don't use it. I don't care. It's kind of like other sports games where there's so much in it that sometimes you just don't have time for it all.
Yeah. And Rich, I'm going to jump ahead of you and say my number two is also WWE 13. Literally, there would be no way I would possibly have bought this game if there was not Attitude Era mode in it. I played last year's game for a couple months, and I was like, yeah, I got all the wrestling I needed to play for a while. Traded it in. 13 came out, I was like, yeah, just more people that I really don't care about. And they brought an Attitude Era mode and literally blew the doors off it. I still haven't even finished it, because I love it so much. Like, I literally don't want it to end.
I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
Well, with Universe Mode, it doesn't have to.
Scott, don't even get me started on Universe Mode.
Well, hey, I'll just say this about Universe Mode. You can take out all the new guys and just do it with the Attitude Era guys if you want.
I think I'm going to have to get on a Skype call with you one night, and we will go through Universe and try to get me to understand.
Okay.
But yeah, I think you should record that as a show, by the way, just so you know.
Good news. I think I will be getting a capture card for Christmas.
Oh, God.
So that might be something we could do. Yeah. Everything Scott said, this might be the WWE/F game that I've always wanted. I literally have no idea what they're going to do next year. I'm pretty sure there's no way I'm going to buy WWE 14.
Because there even is it a... Well, first off, WWE 14 might not exist.
Also true. But
THQ just kind of went bankrupt.
I literally don't know what they could do to make it better.
Monday Night Wars, I think.
Is that not what we just did?
No, but actually focus on the Monday Night Wars, not just the WWE in that time.
So you want some NWOs going on, is what you want?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, that's not going to happen, so...
I know. I'm saying, what is it going to take?
Well, maybe we should get Vince McMahon to buy TNA, and we'll be good.
Rich?
Yeah. Rich, what's your number two?
My number two would not have been on this list 6 weeks ago, but I have been playing gobs and gobs of NBA 2K13 over the last month and a half. And it has made its way from below honorable mention to number two. It is really an astounding game of fundamentally at its core. And it really does. The thing about NBA 2K is that more than any other sports game, it represents the individuals and the team plays better than anybody else. I mean, when you're playing a football game, you're playing hockey, you know, it's especially in like hockey, you know, it's very difficult to understand the tendencies of individual players. You know what I mean? Like, unless you're really into it, you don't know whether your first line or your fourth line is out there. You know, there's no tenant. You can't tell who's blocking who on the offensive line in Madden. You know, you can sometimes tell the difference between quarterbacks and running backs, but in NBA, I mean, every individual player is just such a great representation, not only how they look and are animated, but also just how they play, their strengths and their weaknesses. And then you multiply that times five, individual teams play very much like their real teams do in, you know, on the court in the real NBA. It is, I'm not a Jay-Z guy. I don't care about the presentation. I'm disappointed that they did not bring back, you know, any sort of way to play the legend mode of last year or the Jordan Challenge of 2 years ago. I don't really care at all about their new whatever they call it that is a ripoff of Ultimate Team. I just know that when I play against a buddy of mine in NBA 2K one-on-one against each other, or even more fun when we're both playing on the same team, it is spectacular. It looks great. It plays great. And it is. I'm just so glad that I went back to it because it really has just spoken to me volumes. The guys who make that game have as good of an understanding as to the core fundamentals of making a game, making a sports game, as anybody does these days.
Amazing. I still have played like two games of that. I need to play that more.
It's hard, too. I mean, it's hard. You will struggle. And the only reason I'm good at it, and I'm not great at it, but I'm good at it, is because I played so much of 2K11 and 2K12. You know, it is not for the weak of heart, but it is like worth it. It is worth it. It really is. And Scott, for someone like you, I would recommend picking up NBA 2K11. or 2K12 for $5 or $10 or $12. I would really just, I know you're not a basketball game guy, but man, just give it a go. Cause those games are, they're so, so good.
Oh, I know they are. I know they are. Like I had 2K10. Like I bought that relatively new and I liked playing it. I don't know. It's just, you know, I haven't felt the itch to play a basketball game in a while.
Yeah. But The Jordan challenges, even if you're not able to win them, just going back in time and playing as a young Jordan against Larry Bird and Kevin McHale, it's just the kind of experience that no other games really give you anymore. Or last year, you know, being able to play with Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West or Dr. J. I mean, these personalities just come to life that no other game comes close to giving you the experience of, even just for a few hours, just for fun. I just can't recommend it enough.
It probably is very similar to how I feel about the Attitude Era mode in Devil May Cry.
You're exactly right. Yep.
Excellent choice, Rich. I'm not going to spend too much time on my number one choice, FIFA 13. The only reason I'm not going to spend too much time on it is because I've already spent so much time in the game.
I want to go play it more.
I mean, I just looked up. I think Raptor isn't up-to-date stuff because I'm pretty sure it says I'm stuck at 164 hours. Pretty sure I've blown by that. And in Raptor, my only friend that has more time with me than me in FIFA is one of the developers. So, I mean, that kind of says something right there.
But TJ, how much time is that has been spent on just like the Ultimate Team screen?
I know, it's amazing, Scott. Let me tell you guys, Ultimate Team. I know everybody hates Ultimate Team for some reason.
I don't hate it. I just don't like it. There's a difference.
You should like.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too.
You guys, you know why? Because in your head, it's these people. They're saying things that, you know. Play Ultimate Team. What we'll do is we'll get you guys capture cards, and after we go through my WWE Universe thing, I will walk you through Ultimate Team, and you guys will be like, this is the most amazing thing ever.
No, I get Ultimate Team. I used to not get it. I used to be like, what? I don't get it. Now, when I really started to get Ultimate Team, believe it or not, was with NFL Blitz in January. Because they had a free version of Ultimate Team, so I'm like, all right, fine, I can play it like totally free. Like it wasn't
free,
and getting you could do the whole thing totally for free. And that's when I first really truly got Ultimate Team. I dabbled in Madden's Ultimate Team, didn't touch it in NHL, barely touched it in NBA. I totally get it. And if I were a different kind of player in a different kind of time in my life, I would probably get into it, but. The thing about it is you really need to understand players, and at this time of my life where I just don't sort of have the both time and really even desire to understand, okay, who's the backup left tackle for the Detroit Lions, or who's the nickelback for the for the St. Louis Rams. Like I just don't know anybody other than the top line players, and even for my own team, you know what I mean? And like to be good at Ultimate Team in any one of these games, you need to have a true understanding, or you need to be willing to spend the time to look at that kind of thing. So I get it. It's just kind of for
who I am at this point in time, or have money.
Yeah. For me at this point in time, it's not my thing, but I can totally see why people love it. It makes sense.
But I think the biggest problem with Madden and NHL, you need so many players on your team. For a Madden game, you have to have, I think, 65 on your roster?
It's less than that. I think it's... You need the coaches and the jerseys or something. Well, all right, you can only have 53 players. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's not counting rosters, or that's not counting coaches and jerseys and stuff.
Yeah. And then I think in NHL, you need 4 full lines or...
I can honestly say...
It's 25 players.
I can honestly say I've never even opened up NHL's Ultimate Team. Like
NHL is the one I like the most, actually.
I'm pretty sure it's good, but not only do you need to know NHL players, you need to know junior players, you need to know international players.
That's far too much.
I'm going to tell you about something that might entice you to go take a look at it in NHL. There's an auto line feature.
Yeah, that's nice.
It will organize all that for you. It'll put everyone in the best chemistry lines, what have you. All you have to do is pick the 25 guys you want on your team.
Scott, we should play HUT, as they call it.
I prefer EASHL myself, but
I also agree with that.
Yeah. Also, why I love Pro Clubs.
Our team got purged.
I saw you tweet that. That's very upsetting.
All right, Scott Benz, number one game of the year.
Well, we were just talking about it. NHL 13. I actually thought NHL 12... I thought NHL 12 would be the hockey game I could live with for a year or two. Until I actually played NHL 13. I did not realize how big a difference changing the momentum and the physics of the skating would make. It's really subtle. It's the kind of thing you don't notice unless you play these games every year like we do. But it just does so much. I was actually playing a drop-in game of EA Sports Hockey League today. And there was one guy on my team who was just so much faster than everyone else. And if this was an NHL 12, it wouldn't matter. Because the defenders could still catch up to him. But now that kind of thing matters. And that's what's great. And then the actual hook for NHL 13 for me was GM connected, which, you know, all three of us are in a league. We're actually finally in the last week of the season. I'm hoping we get done recording this early enough that I can finish out my season.
I may win the President's Trophy.
Nice.
There's an outside possibility I'll make the playoffs.
And for a first attempt at that mode, it's done really well. It's not perfect. Again, it's a lot like Connected Career Mode. It's a first attempt. There's a lot of loading menus that takes longer than you think it should, and they actually patched it and made it better, and it still really takes a long time. As far as we know, like, we haven't tried to do it with the rookie draft or anything like that yet, but it's just such a solid game, and then there's just so much other stuff there that you can do if you want. Be a pro. We talked about Ultimate Team, EA Sports Hockey League, which we really need to try and get back into. It's just so many things, and they're all done well, which I think is the most important thing. I honestly can't look at anything that NHL 13 doesn't do at least competently.
Yeah, can't disagree with you on that one, Scott. No, really can't. I'm trying to think. Right. My biggest gripe with the game is on some of the screens, there's a thing that's spinning. That looks the screen's always loading, but it's actually not.
It's like the always connected to the internet logo.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. But aside from that, because I always think something's loading, but it's not. I'm good with that. Rich Grisham, your game of the year?
So here's the thing, right? I don't play the Ultimate Team. I can't stand the Legends mode. It's boring. I don't like Be a Pro because it's the same thing I've done for the last few years. I barely get to play EASHL even though it's spectacular. And yet, NHL 13 is hands down without a doubt my 2012 Sports Game of the Year because of so many of the reasons that Scott touched on. It is just so fundamentally strong on the ice. RGM Connected League, thank God for it. I've played 72. I mean, I don't think more than a handful of my games have been simmed. I've played 70 plus games, and every game is a new experience. I do not get the same goals ever. I have to bust my butt to score. I've gone through slumps. I've gone through long winning streaks. I have had nights where Martin Brodeur let every puck that got near him behind him for a goal. And other nights where he stood on his head. I've had guys get injured. I've had lines get moved around. It has been one of the most fun experiences I've had playing sports because the underlying game is so good. I can't say enough good things about NHL 13. And like I said, it's amazing because I probably only use 20% of it. But that 20% is spectacular. And I can't wait every day. Like, I'm excited to come home and be able to play my games, especially if they're against a computer because I can just, you know, knock them out. But if they're against a human, it's even better because the only thing better than playing the computer in the NHL 13 is playing against another person. Like, I'm terrified. Like, in my first round of the playoffs, if I play the computer versus a person, like, I'm like, okay, well, if I'm playing the computer, I can relax a little bit. But then I don't know if I can. But if I play a human, I've had a lot of success against humans, but if I get one of these guys who just joined the league who sneaks in the eighth spot is probably better than me, then what's going to happen? Like, just all of these emotions and anxiety going through me. It's spectacular. Love the game. Love the game.
That's why I'm trying to get that eighth spot so I can knock you out and get a big upset.
It would be a big upset. Believe me. That's why I'm focusing like a laser beam on trying to get this President's Trophy because then I will have two – you know, I'll have a divisional title and a President's Trophy, which will ease my inevitable, you know, eight knocking out the one, make it a little easier to take.
I have two games left, and I think 98 points, and I still haven't actually clinched anything.
Not even a playoff berth?
Not even. According to the game, it might not update. It might not update all the way.
I don't think it'll update till you advance.
All right, then maybe that's why it says I haven't. But or it's like games, yeah. Like one person needs to lose because they could maybe get more points than me. Like if they win all their games or something.
Yeah. NHL 13. That's Sports Gamer's Sports Game of the Year. Amazing, huh?
It is.
It's a really good game.
It really is.
Not in my top three. Honorable mention, though.
Did you even say what your number one is? Did I miss that?
FIFA 13, Scott. Where you been?
Oh yeah, you went first. Yes. I'm sorry. This cold I've had. Although much better from when we first started the show. It's my brain has not been all there.
All right, guys. Time to button this up.
I'm looking at the standings right now. 110 points with 78 games played, 50 wins. What a great regular season!
That is an awesome rate. You built yourself up enough that you could survive when you had a slump.
Mm. Yeah, and boy, what a slump it was. I went 1-9 during a 10-game period.
I mean, even I beat you. I mean, what's that tell you?
It was overtime, so I still got a point, though.
True.
By the way, TJ, you're not making the playoffs. Sorry to tell you.
It's all good. Next year. There's always next year.
There is next year.
There will be a next year.
Yes.
Guys, to wrap this up, Scott Binns, what's your most anticipated sports game next year?
You're springing this on me.
I didn't even tell you guys about this.
No, you didn't.
I need it straight from the gut.
Okay. Madden 14.
Rich Grisham.
I'm most looking forward to whatever launches with the new consoles. But on the existing consoles, yeah, I'm also definitely most intrigued by Madden NFL 14.
Interesting. I will go with the game that comes out approximately 1 month earlier and say NCAA Football 14. Just because.
Oh, yeah, good choice.
It's going to get all that cool Madden stuff and more. I made a really funny hand gesture with my "and more."
You know, and to kind of follow up on what we were talking about earlier, again, I wasn't trying to be cynical or snarky. I'm definitely looking forward to what happens next year with the games. I don't know if anybody is going to introduce anything interesting. The consensus is that there won't be, that this will be another year of – or not another year, but a year of taking it safe. But conversely, the games are all so good right now, right? Like – they could all use tightening up. Like, is MLB 13 going to be really just kind of putting the finishing touches on the PS3 era? Is Madden 14, you know, how much further are they going to take the whole connected careers? And will there be, you know, obviously there will be adjustments and modifications to the physics. How much better will it be? You know, with NCAA football, what are they going to bring to the table? That'll differentiate it from Madden, you know, with NHL potentially coming off of a lost season. What are they going to do to get people excited to play their game? NBA 2K13, one of the biggest issues they had this year was, you know, it didn't have a big feature, you know, back of the box feature to get people excited. Yeah, the underlying game is tremendous and a lot of people understand that, but, you know, you can't just rely on that every year. Like, every game has questions. I think they're all going to be really good. And then, of course, you've also got the new hardware, which is almost virtually certain to hit at least one major new system from either Microsoft or Sony next year. So it's going to be an interesting 2013.
I don't want to hear that, Rich. I don't want to hear that.
Don't tell Scott, though.
Sorry, Scott.
Scott, you have another 7 years of playing MLB The Show on the PS3.
Probably this is true. This is true.
Just think about that. Yeah, guys, this has been great. Rich Grisham, where can people find you on the internets?
Well, the Press Row podcast is my biweekly show where I talk with folks from Kotaku and Joystick and Polygon and Operation Sports. So we're there every couple of weeks. On December 28th, I will have a special end of the year episode, which features many people, including the two of you fine gentlemen. talking about your sports game of the year. So, and a whole bunch of other people. But yeah, it's the Press Row podcast through Operation Sports. And of course, whenever a major sports game hits, you can read my review of those on Games Radar as well.
Excellent. Scott Binns?
At Darth Obvious on Twitter.
And Rich Grisham is at Rich Grisham.
Made that really complex.
Yeah, as always, you can follow me on Twitter, at That Sports Gamer. There's a lot of other stuff that I didn't actually look at the rundown to tell you about stuff. But hey, 2013 is going to be a big year for ThatSportsGamer.com. We're going to start a real actual sports show, not just sports games, called Upon Further Review. That's coming out soon. Hopefully we'll have new videos. There's going to be a whole site redesign. Hope you guys are excited.
I am.
And I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. Maybe this year. We'll see what happens. 2012. I don't really have a slogan for this year in sports games.
I think we can easily say that it was solid.
Yes.
A solid sports game year.
Solid sports game year. They were all good. They were all good.
Yeah. Excellent, guys. Guys.
The very few of them that there were.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not to say that the whole thinning of the herd is necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't have to be. You're right.
But
hey, it happens.
Yeah. You know, everything that's left is really good, so.
Yep.
Well, what is there to complain about, really?
I'm with you.
True. All right, Rich and Scott, thank you very much for joining me. Also, don't forget Brad Woodling, RetroSportsGamer.com, RetroSportsGamer on Twitter.
RetroSportsGMR.
Listen, I already made that quite clear earlier.
But if earlier was 2 days ago, then I don't remember that.
No, this was literally two segments ago.
I need to go to bed.
Yeah. Guys, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, thank you very much for listening. And I hope you continue listening. Hey, rate and review us on iTunes. Don't forget about that. I mean, it does something. I have sent Scott on a mission to find out what something does.
You did?
Yeah, Scott. Now you know. Check back in with us next year when we do our sports wrap-up, and you can tell us what iTunes reviews and comments do. All right, guys. For Rich and for Scott, I'm TJ, and we'll see you next year. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. All that good stuff. Bye.
Bye-bye.